Welcome into this Monday edition of the Green Zone. My name's Britton Gray. I am in for Jamie and Locker today. And before we get going with Rider Talk, NFL, NHL, we have to should take a moment. It's a very important day across Canada. Of course, it is Remembrance Day, a day to honor and remember those who gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we can enjoy all the freedoms we get to enjoy here in Canada and what makes this country so great. They gave their lives to for us to have these freedoms. There's, of course, it's also a day to be thankful for those members who are currently serving or who are still alive and have served in war, times of peace, to help keep this country great. I know there were Remembrance Day ceremonies across the province, in Regina, Saskatoon, of course, and just a chance to go there. A lot of people are out and really like seeing that, to just take some time out of your day and honor those who have fallen. And like I said, thankful for those who are still serving. And if you couldn't get out to one of those ceremonies, just taking a moment to just reflect on how lucky we are to live in Canada and know that it took a lot of sacrifices, people's lives, to enjoy the time we have, the freedoms, everything we have in Canada. And like I said, those still serving, those overseas, wherever, during anything, like I said, it's a day where we have to take a moment, reflect, because this country is great, and a lot of it is due to the sacrifices that have been made. During the show, Jamie Nye was actually in Normandy for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. They unveiled the statue dedicated to the Regina Rifles out there this year. So, and he was able to talk to some people who, a member who served in the Regina Rifles who was out there, a woman whose father was had served as well. And so we'll hear from them a little bit later in the show. But of course, like I mentioned, Remembrance Day. Take a moment to reflect and just be thankful for the freedoms we have, and it was due to the sacrifices of so many people. But it is the Green Zone. We're going to talk some Riders because, well, there was a lot of hope and maybe confidence that the Riders could go in to Winnipeg, knock off the Bombers, head back to the Grey Cup for the first time since 2013. But it became apparent real early that was not going to be the case.
Second and three. Kolaris, she pick an end zone. Down the field, Lawler's got it. Touchdown, Winnipeg! Kenny Lawler strikes first. Kolaris, down the field, looking for Lawler again, and Kenny's got it. He's going to cut it back to the 40. Stiff arm to try to get away. Down the field, Lawler again. Touchdown, did he get there? Yes! Kolaris, a ton of time. Down the field, wide open. Who else? Kenny Lawler. Touchdown, Winnipeg!
And I don't know if you noticed, but those were all Kenny Lawler highlights. Never mind what Brady Oliveira did, the touchdown to Nick Dembski. Kenny Lawler had 177 yards on four catches and three touchdowns. And as mentioned, it appeared like, I don't have the defensive game plan, I don't know what plays were called, but looked like a lot of those were on Amari Henderson, who I know that fans after the game were calling into the Green Zone and voicing their concerns and displeasure by the defense in that one. I mean, Zach Collaros had 301 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. I've been on the Green Zone all year saying I don't think the Bombers are as good as they have been in recent years. They've taken a step back. I think I'm still right because one game does not make a season. But in when that mattered the most, the Bombers put together their most complete game and dismantled a Riders team that had momentum, that was going in feeling good. But the Bombers have their best game of the season. They go to their fifth straight Grey Cup, and I think they have a gosh darn good chance at winning it because Chad Kelly suffered a broken tibia in his leg, so he's out. That means Nick Arbuckle will suit up for the Argos in this year's Grey Cup. So that's the matchup, Winnipeg against Toronto. And it's actually funny because Winnipeg has actually never beaten Toronto in the Grey Cup. They've met eight times, and Toronto is 8-0 against Winnipeg, including right here in Regina in 2022. So we'll see, maybe. But it's if you're a fan of Winnipeg sports, you are having quite the time right now because not only are the Bombers back in the Grey Cup, but the Jets keep on rolling.
Sent down low to Nemestikov. Iafalo scores! Iafalo shot rebound! Kapari scores! Wrap around and Nemestikov scores! Raiders as Cruz to the slot area, shoots it, scores!
The Winnipeg Jets beat the Dallas Stars 4-1 to improve to 14-1. That's the best start in NHL history through the first 15 games. They are rolling to begin this year. And Darren Bomming, who will be in the Grey Cup in Vancouver, he covers both the Bombers and Jets with Bonfire Sports. So he's going to join me at 4:05 today as we take a look at both teams and how good it must feel to be a Winnipeg sports fan right now. Also, a big shout out to the U of R Rams, who defeated the U of S Huskies to claim the Hardy Cup. They're the first ever team to go 3-5 in the regular season, win the Hardy Cup, and they have been on a roll. Congrats to the U of S on the season they had. Kind of a tough start to battle all the way back to reach the Hardy Cup. Great year on their end. But the Rams have somehow found just momentum. Something's going on out there, and now they will take on Laval in the Mitchell Bowl, with the winner of that heading on to the Vanier Cup. But as mentioned, we're going to look a lot at what went wrong for the Riders. The Rider season comes to a crashing end, and we'll see what the future holds. The Riders cleared out their locker room yesterday. I, of course, was driving back from Winnipeg. I wasn't there. So Jamie Nye, who will be heading to Vancouver, had to go. We kind of switched hats once again. He went to locker room day as they cleared out, got a chance to meet up with Trevor Harris, who has to kind of decide what he's going to do with his future.
Does this organization have a chance if I'm here? And if the answer is no, I don't want to be here because I care about this organization way too darn much. They deserve top tier of everything. And if I'm not that, I should walk away, and I will.
So he has to kind of decide what his next steps are along with what the Riders want to do at the quarterback position. Trevor Harris, great regular season when he was healthy. But the reality is, come the West Final, not his best game. And now you have to ask questions of if he can get this team over the Winnipeg Blue Bombers and into the Grey Cup, if he's the right guy to do that. He also has to decide he's going to be 39 next year. He's coming off back-to-back seasons with knee injuries. How's his body feeling? What is going to be kind of what he does? And hey, he has a young family as well. Obviously, family is an important role in a lot of these guys' lives. He will have to have that conversation, but we'll have to see what the Riders do that. But Saskatchewan, how would you grade this Riders season? Was it a success, a failure? Kind of middling at best. And do you want to see Trevor Harris back next year? Or do you think the Riders need to move on, make that trade for Vernon Adams Jr.? Maybe try to get Davis Alexander out of Montreal, though I think the Owls will be doing everything they can to keep him there. Maybe bring Bo Levi Mitchell back out west. He's a free agent, and kind of decisions have to be made there. And he had a heck of a year, but then another veteran quarterback, older guy. Is that what they do again? Or do you sign Shea Patterson, Jack Cohn? They duel it out in training camp and kind of look to the future. We'll see. You can text or call at 1-877-332-8255. Jamie Nye, as I mentioned, will be in Vancouver all week and will be providing us with some hits. He's going to give us some updates about what's going on out there. And so we'll hear from him also a little bit later before he heads out. So we'll get a chance to talk about the Riders and this upcoming Grey Cup matchup. A lot of great NFL action yesterday as the Lions completed a miraculous comeback. The Cardinals crushed the Jets and Aaron Rodgers, and the Chiefs remain undefeated while Jerry Jones, the Dallas Cowboys, get utterly embarrassed by the Philadelphia Eagles. Questions about if they need to put up curtains where that sunspot is. All I know is, Jerry, you deserve every little bit of this for the team that you decided to put out there and your refusal to sign an actual GM. We're going to chat with Belton Johnson in a little bit about the Riders and the NFL season. But as mentioned, Rider season's over. 38-22 in Winnipeg. We'll hear from the Green Zone post-game show about how they were feeling after the loss next. I'm Britton Gray here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
I work so hard, I can't worry about my problems. I can't take them when I'm gone. One, here comes the two, to the three, to the four. Tell them bring another round, we need plenty more. Two-stepping on the table, she don't need a dance floor.
Welcome back to the Green Zone. My name's Britton Gray, and I am in for Jamie and Locker today. Well, it was what is now becoming an all too familiar end to a Rider season over the recent years. The past three times the Riders have gone to the playoffs, it has come to the end, come to an end at the hands of the Bombers in Regina in 2019, and then in Winnipeg in 2021, and now in 2024. So how was the Green Zone panel with Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson feeling after the game? And the 2024 Rough Riders season ends with a thud. 38-22, the Rough Riders go to Winnipeg and got absolutely schooled by the best in the West. For the fifth straight year, it'll be the Winnipeg Blue Bombers representing the West Division. And for an 11th straight year, the Riders won't have a date for the Grey Cup. Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson, I've got one word with a question mark on the end of it. Thoughts?
Well, I'm disappointed. You know, like, pregame, I think we all talked how great this team is, you know, coming into this game, and I think we got the fan base all riled up and pumped up, and smack! That's what happened. They didn't have a chance from the get-go of this game, I don't think, personally. The air went out the building right there on the spot. Big brother, Bombers, so little brother, Ryder, you stay down there.
You still have some work to do, guys, right? Before you're going to come into Winnipeg and take the Western crown.
Yeah, we thought they were ready to make that big step, didn't we? But they obviously weren't. They were flat. They were nervous. They bad coaching tonight, too, right? Mm-hmm. They were stubborn. They wouldn't change their defense. They wouldn't change their offense. And Winnipeg knew exactly what to do, how to beat the Rough Riders. So you got to give credit to the Bombers. Great job, but they've been there before, Jamie. They knew what to do, and it was obvious that there's a certain level for the Rough Riders that they have to close if they're ever going to catch those Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
So as we take a big, deep breath, everybody in Saskatchewan at the start of the season would have taken this 2024 year, a home playoff game, and a date in the West Final, right? Like, year one under Corey Mace, you go, okay, all things being said, yeah, that was an okay season. But when you get to this point, that's where it gets to disappointing, because you see it, and you go, the team's good enough to do it. No, they can beat the Bombers. The Bombers have been mediocre all season long. Go into Winnipeg and show them who's boss. And Kenny Lawler had 120 yards... pretty much, 20 minutes into the football game and two touchdowns.
Yeah, that was... Hey, I told you, big plays, Jamie.
Has Amari Henderson seen him yet?
Oh, man.
Amari Henderson should introduce himself to Kenny Lawler after the game, because he was running by him all night long.
I don't want to talk about Amari Henderson.
He might not have to anymore.
Well, let's be serious. All season when they put him in, it's like, what do they like about Amari Henderson? Because we don't see it. Mm-hmm. And then he gets lit up on three big plays.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His guy was Kenny Lawler most of the time. Even on the zone, he still should have been dropping back, picking him up and make sure.
That deep zone, right?
Yeah, deep zone. Don't let Kenny Lawler behind you. My goodness. If you make a mistake against Zach Collaros and Kenny Lawler, it's going to show up on the scoreboard, and it did three times.
And that's the thing, right? Look back that, you know, those three games the Riders played. They held Oliveira. He was under 50 yards rushing, and all of a sudden tonight.
160. I haven't even counted them yet.
Oliveira?
Oh, yeah.
119 yards plus 22 in the air. That's a total of 141 yards.
There's the game.
Terry Wilson ran for 51.
177, three touchdowns for Lawler. 482 net yards of offense for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
But the Riders had a good defense.
That's what I was just going to say there. How many turnovers did the Rider defense have, Jamie?
This was Buck Pierce having a week to break it down
and went, okay, I've seen the three games they played against us. I know what they're doing.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is where we need to attack. And attack they did. And salivate they did when number 16 was out on the corner on a couple of those routes.
We had a practice this week when we're watching him out there. He said, that's where I would attack. And not that Buck Pierce hurt us. I think he knew the same thing.
Yeah.
So 38-22 the final. The Bombers and the Argos in the Grey Cup. But the Riders' season ends again in Winnipeg. 0-9 in their last nine trips in the regular season and playoffs.
And so my question for you today, Saskatchewan, is how would you grade this Riders' season? How do you look at it? Successful? Failure? Yeah, it's kind of average. They had that seven-game winless streak. It wasn't as good as maybe it should have been. How are you feeling on this Monday? You can text or call at 1-877-332-8255. And so I have some theories about why I think the Riders, it all came apart in Winnipeg. And part of that is, and Corey Mace took the blame for it. It was a poor defensive game plan. They stuck to that zone. They didn't start blitzing when it wasn't working. They just assumed the guys were going to make plays, which I get having trust in the players to make plays. But when it's not working, you have to switch something up. And they didn't. This is something I think Corey Mace, who made some great kind of growth throughout the year. I thought he was getting better his first year. These kind of things happen as you try to juggle being the head coach and defensive coordinator. He will learn from this. I think this organization is in a great place with Corey Mace based on what I saw in year one here, but we'll see. Now, the expectation is to make the West Final and win the West Final. This is a team that with the improvement they made, there's no reason unless they take massive steps backwards that they shouldn't be competing once again in the West Final or maybe making the Grey Cup next year. And hey, it's in Winnipeg next year. Could you imagine the Riders going into Winnipeg and raising the Grey Cup? I bet that would make some Rider fans extremely happy if they were to do that. But part of it too, this Riders offense, it kind of felt like they just weren't built to come from behind in multiple scores. It was run the ball, let Trevor Harris be efficient, and he doesn't have to push the ball down the field to maybe a deep threat. Sam Emelis provided a bit of a deep threat, but he didn't really take the top off defenses on a weekly basis. He's still one of those guys 8 to 12 yards down, see what you could get, try break tackles. But when the Riders were down, they didn't have that deep threat that you can toss that 60-yard, 75-yard touchdown to. And so that was part of it. The run game. You needed more out of it if that's what you were going to do. And like the Bombers got up early, sure, but AJ Olech, outside of that one run, just wasn't efficient. You needed more from that. What does that team do there? Rockwell Armstead is a free agent. Does he come back or is he feeling disrespected? There's some free agent decisions. This team will have to determine how they move ahead going forward. Up next, we are the home of the fans, so we hear from some of the callers who shared their thoughts on the postgame show. I'm Britton Gray, in for Jamie and Locker on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back into the Green Zone. My name's Britton Gray. I am in for Jamie and Locker today. And we're looking back kind of at the Riders season that came to an end in Winnipeg once again. I'm asking for fans' thoughts on how they viewed the season, how they're feeling, how they would grade it. You can text or call at 1-877-332-8255. From CP, Britton, if you remember at the start of the year, most people had the Riders in last place. So finishing in second was an accomplishment. However, the first year for Mace, Mueller, their inexperience showed up. It showed up a few times this year. They will learn from this. So expect a real good year next year. Would give them a C+. Just need to add a few additions and we'll be okay. Yes, it seems like year one, they talk about building it. The foundation's there. A good year. Can they take it to great next year? I got a couple other texts. Let's see here. This is the team I created 8 years ago. Anybody but the Riders, Brad from Assiniboia. So not a fan there. And do you think that they didn't put a number down? Do you think Mace will give up the DC to someone, the defensive coordinator? I don't know. It's really tough in the coaching kind of cap world. A lot of coaches do kind of take that on at some point, but we've seen guys get rid of it. That's a reflection thing for Corey Mace. They do have Coach Bell out here, someone who Corey Mace trusts immensely. And so we'll have to see. I think it would be a positive to do that just because there's a lot going on in a game and game situations. So, but we'll have to see how Corey Mace, when he takes a step back, how he feels. Well, a lot of fans had a lot of hope that they were heading into Winnipeg to get the win. Of course, that was not the case. So how were callers feeling after the game?
Yeah, it's really rough right now. It's frustrating. This, Delton, this reminds me of the 2006 West Final when the Riders lost 45-18 to BC. It seems to have that real stench where we were schooled. I'm just going to give you four quick points. I know you got a bank of calls to get to. Gentlemen, if you want a sobering statistic, this is the first time in the history of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders that we have lost to the same team in four consecutive playoff appearances. So if you dial back to 2018, 2019, 2021, 2024, all losses to the Bombers, our last four playoff losses, all to hands of the Bombers. That's the first time ever that's happened in the history of the franchise. Number two, we're going to talk a lot about key points in tonight's game. To me, the inability to get a touchdown after Caleb Sanders blocks the punt, and we have to settle for another field goal. But I'm going to give you another situation to me, and I'll be thinking about this like for the next 7 months. We had a spark of energy in the third quarter. We got the score to 24-16. The Bombers went 2-0. We had the ball 9 minutes left in the third quarter. It was second and two, and we passed the ball. We invested in A.J. Ouellette. We invested in Q in the running game tonight. We had two import running backs and didn't run the ball when we had to. And to me, that was the real disaster, because after that, there was no going forward at all for the team.
We have to improve the the team has to, but also Corey Mace. This was a very successful first season for Corey Mace as the head coach of the Rider organization. I would say it's definitely a successful season. But the problem is that we've experienced a lot of inconsistencies, and this could potentially be considered the Achilles heel of the Rough Rider organization for God knows how many years now, right? So while there is an improvement, if Corey Mace wants to make this team into a dynasty like Winnipeg, he needs to improve the inconsistencies. And I would say there was a lot of like complete deflation. I mean, you looked at the running game for Winnipeg. They were blowing right through, our defense, right? And could you consider the Riders were nervous, tired? There could be a bunch of different particulars you could say is the case as to why they were the way they were. But I will say Corey Mace has to focus on that, which I'm completely confident that he will do. But we have to look at that as well. Because, I mean, okay, Calgary was brutal this season, clearly. Edmonton was brutal in the beginning until they got rid of Chris Jones and then, you know, what transpired there. And then we also have to look at BC was hit or miss. So while we will, and I will consider this a successful season, gentlemen, I do believe there is merit to say, listen, because of how close a lot of our games were, this could have been a different story when we're talking about the aspect of improving the Rough Rider organization going forward.
Yeah, she come crashing down in a hurry, didn't she?
Oh, yeah.
But I totally got out-coached, outplayed, out-schemed, whatever you want to say. They weren't on the same field almost as the Bombers were. I agree with some of the other callers there. You know, they just, it was a good year. We come a long ways, but now the key is, do we get better next year? That's going to be, and I think we got to add a couple pieces in that defensive backfield. Henderson is god awful. He's been god awful all year, and I don't know why he's playing. The head coach Mace and Mark Mueller, rookies. They made a lot of rookie mistakes, but I think they're going to be good coaches. This game, they didn't do a very good job. Let's talk about the offensive line. O'Day's the GM, played on the offensive line. He must have been really bad as an offensive lineman because he can't get any players. Or something's wrong there. He picks the wrong guys consistently. On defense, Mace calls the same play. It's in second and seven. He's in zone defense, and they're picking us apart like nothing. And he doesn't change.
When we were down 14, I think watching the Bombers hold Cox, like how many times? I would just start throwing the challenge flag. I wouldn't even care at that point. So that's one. Like, he didn't throw a challenge to, what, the third quarter, I think? Mm-hmm. I caught a random...
The fourth quarter, yeah.
Random fourth rookie. So second thing, watching Mace this game and BC, it's like watching Dickinson. As much as I love Mace, just him being a defensive guru, as they claimed, these last two games versus BC, even though we intercepted VA how many times, this zone thing only is good in Madden, it seems.
What I'm thinking, first I want to say congratulations to the Rams for winning today. That's awesome. So I thought it would be karma that we would win as well, but Winnipeg was just too much for us today, and we just never got on track. It was frustrating right from the get-go, but I want to talk more about the season and the positives. I love the head coach. I love the offensive coordinator. I love the vibe they bring with the team and how he gets the team to play for him. Last year was frustrating to watch. Nobody even tried. Every game we were in it this year, it felt like, or at least the way the team gelled. So I will definitely be coming back again next year.
Oh, I'm so disheartened, guys. I mean, geez. If you'd have told me before the game that Winnipeg was going to win, I would say, yeah, good chance of it. But I thought it was going to be a field goal with 30 seconds left or lose by, you know, one score or whatever. To get our butts kicked that bad, especially by a team that's a good team. But like you guys have been saying the last couple of years, as I have, that they're starting to lose a little bit of their swagger, right? You know, they're getting older.
So, yes, disappointment. Everyone thought the Bombers, maybe this was the year someone could knock them off. Turned out to not be the case. But I'm asking you, Saskatchewan, today, what's your grade for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders? Was it passing, a success? They made it back to the West Final, a failure? You never know how it's going to go next year. You don't know who you're keeping. You kind of have to win in the CFL. Or was it kind of middling? You know, they had some highlights, some lowlights. Overall, it's another loss, and they aren't in the Grey Cup. How are you feeling today? Text or call at 1-877-332-8255. John from Vanscoy says, hi, Britton. I think being able to identify who will be a top-tier quarterback in that player's first or second year is a very rare ability amongst GMs and head coaches. Do we have that guy now? I don't know. With Harris, we know what we are getting. He could probably play another year or two, or the available group of good quarterbacks is pretty good now. Adams, Ford, Bethel Thompson, Alexander, my vote would be Harris and develop either Cone or Patterson. Overall mark, a B-. So some success, a lot of things to build on, but quarterback is something this team is going to have to figure out. Trevor Harris is a free agent. Rockwell Armstead, the Jarrett Stearns, Mitchell Picton, Trevion Tate, Phillip Blake, Ryan Sevier, Peter Godber, Jameer Thurman, Marcus Sales, Micah Johnson. There's a lot of free agents that this team has to kind of decide what they're doing. And these guys who kind of have to decide what's best for them, what's best for their families, who's giving them more money. Maybe the ride Marcus Sales came in as a training camp cut, probably got him on a pretty good discount. Some team might pay him a lot of money because he had an all CFL season. We'll have to see. A lot of questions for the Riders as they head into this offseason and heading into 2025. Up next, as I mentioned before, it is Remembrance Day, and we are honoring those who fought 80 years ago in June of 1944. We'll hear from one of those people who was in Normandy when they unveiled the statue dedicated to the Regina Rifles. I'm Britton Gray on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone. My name is Britton Gray, and I am in for Jamie Locker today. A very important day for Canadians across the country here, as it is Remembrance Day. We're taking the time to reflect and honor those who gave their lives, who made the ultimate sacrifice, so that we can continue to enjoy the freedoms that we have and what has made this country so great for so long. And also being thankful to those members who are currently serving, whether overseas, here in Canada, keeping us safe, because this is a great country we have. And a lot of it is due to the sacrifices people have made, those who have given their lives. And so Remembrance Day, just take a moment to just reflect on how lucky we are and just about those people who gave their lives, who didn't come back home and made the ultimate sacrifice so that we can sit here and enjoy CFL games, enjoy sports, enjoy the freedoms that we have here in Canada. And so that's what we're doing today. Remembrance Day. Jamie Nye was in Normandy when they unveiled the statue that is now honoring the Regina Rifles there. Of course, it was the 80th anniversary of D-Day back in June there. Jamie was over in Europe, was able to head to Normandy. I know he really enjoyed that experience. And, well, maybe not enjoyed, but like grateful to have that experience, I think is more like it is more appropriate because of what it means to the freedoms and this knowing the sacrifice that was made. And in there he met a William Seyfried, a 99-year-old from Ontario who joined the Regina Rifles just before D-Day. We're going to hear from him. You'll hear his daughter, Linda, filling in some blanks, but this is their interview near Juneau Beach back in June.
What's this bring back to be here again?
Oh God. Never. So astonishing.
It's astonishing.
It sure was.
And very emotional, Dad. He can hardly speak about it because It's so emotional. I told him that you felt such a responsibility representing the Regina Rifles. All of them here today. Yeah. He's so honored, yes?
Why does it mean so much to you to be the representative of the riflemen and the Regina Rifles here?
Well, it's the only one to hear from there that I know of.
But you know how brave they were, don't you, Dad?
Oh, yes. But it's really nice. And how come you always come to something like this?
No, this is my first time.
First time?
Yes.
Well, it's
quite astonishing.
Isn't it astonishing? It's amazing.
You didn't know you'd be a Regina Rifle, but you're so proud to be.
Well, no.
How did you become a Regina Rifle? It was in London?
No, it was in London that I was... We all were shipped out west, so we took the farther we could to British Columbia. Mm-hmm. But that was full. And anything in Ontario was full, because the guys were awful. So we said we'll go to Regina Rifles, and it was the best thing I ever did.
What was the friendship like among the crew?
Oh, terrific. Terrific. So I ended up in D-Day.
D-Day.
Mm-hmm. There was I guess there was four units, A, B, C, D, maybe. And we all had our own groups, and we sure were amazed to have them.
You know what he told the princess? He said, they're talking about friendships and how a company sticks together.
Yeah. And, is this your girl?
Yes, it is. This is my daughter, yes. You should
shake
William's hand. He was here 80 years ago. And
fighting in France.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, isn't that nice?
Anyway, he said to the princess, well, you make good friends, but the next morning they're gone.
Yeah.
So that was great.
That's what he told her.
And this was a big, big day of the week here for us.
He's with the veterans.
Right, well, this is their day. I never dreamt it was going to be like this.
How brave are these men listed here?
These are all the ones, Dad, that died.
These are all the upright down here, their names, all the men.
Regina Rifles that didn't make it home, Dad, all these names.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Holy cats, that was quite a bunch.
How brave were these friends of yours?
Yes.
Brave. Dad, did you feel that you were brave, that they were brave? They were just doing what they were told, Dad, always. You know, They had to do what they had to do every day, and they just did it, you know?
Yeah. Yes, sir. Imagine all those fellas. Well, I felt lucky.
Mm-hmm. You get home, Dad?
You are lucky to be home.
The bullets always miss me.
Yes, a very powerful interview. William Seyfried, a 99-year-old at the time when Jamie interviewed him from Ontario, who joined the Regina Rifles and who was there in Normandy for the unveiling of that D-Day statue, and then him seeing the names of all his friends and fellow Regina Rifles who didn't make it back. As you mentioned, very lucky to come back. I'm Britton Gray on the Green Zone here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.